The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, KNSN, DJRD Broadcasting, Crawford Media Group, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody!
And the sunshine on a cloudy day. When it's cold outside, I've got the month of May.
Here's what's coming up on today's experience. It's Dr. Dave's. That's right. Dr. Dave's. Am I a doctor? Dr. Dave's Devotional Diamonds of the Day, also known as DDDDDs, where my daily devotions become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects play throughout the show which have nothing to do with life, but the Bible teaches there's a time to laugh, Ecclesiastes chapter 3. The review of the goofy news, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think, we hope, before this show is over. Life lessons for our faith that we could actually use, probably won't if we sit on our blessed assurance. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? Here's the best answer you'll ever hear. Because. Also, Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more.
Living this life, not always easy running.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is Dr. David Spoon, and I will be your host for the next 5,400,000 milliseconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen, and we don't care. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk faith with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about living life as a Christian. That thingy right there, here it is. Everybody who's listening to the show is learning, and we're learning together to be prayer warriors for one another. So here's the question. What can our prayer warriors, hence the audience, what can our prayer warriors pray for you about? There you go. Look, if you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, please don't let it die of loneliness. We do consider that to be somewhat sad. All you got to do is reach out to us and give us a call. The number, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. And when you call 972-445-0770, you'll end up talking to Jammin' Jacob. Talking to Jammin' Jacob, man. That's like heading into the week with great faith and high expectation.
Aww.
That's nice.
Thank you, David. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday to you, my friend. I think we should probably tell the people at this point that the AM part of our radio station is missing. A stands for M stands for missing. Missing. We are streaming. We are on the internet. We are on all the apps. We are recording. We will have a podcast, but the AM is missing. Like that?
Yep, that pretty much sums it up.
That's what AM stands for. We love the warfare, though. It's just like, yeah, it's praise the Lord. We must be doing something right. Bottom line in that whole process is simply this. It doesn't stop people from hearing, from being blessed, from being encouraged. And if you're listening by app and you can connect with us, we hope you do so. You can call us, like we said, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Definitely a non-professional voice coming now.
214-210-8483.
There you go. Additionally, you can send an email to David at hemustincrease.org, D-A-V-I-D, David, at, A with a circle around it, he must increase, from John 3:30, he must increase, I must decrease, .org, because we're a nonprofit entity. That's important to remember. By the way, later on when I send you up to the website, just remember, Radio Rent is due this week. Always fun. Radio Rent is due this week. Oh, my. Oh, my. Look, if you are in San Diego right now, it's 11:36. If you're in Denver, 12:36. If you're in Dallas, 1:36. Or if you are in Detroit, where it's 2:36. What? Okay. It's very simple. If you have this access, reach out to us, whether you do it by phone, by text, or by email. It can be for a prayer request. A prayer request? Yeah, you can pray and ask us to pray and ask us to pray for you about something that we can join together with you in. If we can join together with you in the process and take our faith and put it with your faith, well, then we'll have more faith and we can petition the Lord over that whole process. And it is faith that pleases God. So let's do that. That's brothers and sisters standing together against the world in the kingdom. Maybe you've got a praise report. Something is going on and you're like, I gotta share. It does not have to be genius. It does not have to be brilliant. It does not have to be long. It does not have to be perfect. It does not have to be the Red Sea splitting. None of those things. What it needs to be is just something the Lord's done in your life. A gracelet. Share that. It will be a blessing. Again, maybe you've got something going on and you just want to share it. The Lord has shown you something. Remember, the redeemed of the Lord say so. And if we have anything that we've got going on in our lives, nothing is impossible for the Lord. Don't you think your circumstance is bigger than God? That's absurd. There is no situation or circumstance you are in that is bigger than God, period. So if you've got a praise report, a prayer request, you got an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, any of that, we want you to be able to touch base with us and do so freely. Additionally, we will do history, we will do jokes, and we will do Bible trivia, but not yet. You're thinking, not yet? No, this teaching, so good. We are in 2 Timothy. What? 2 Timothy chapter 2. What? 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 14. And this is Paul's final letter that he writes in the New Testament to his young protege specifically, but all for us to read and know. And here's what he says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14. Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. And be diligent to present yourself approved to God. Let's stop right there and pick it apart piece by piece. 2 Timothy 2:14 reminds us of the importance of memory in our spiritual journey. I know you guys remember when the computers were early in the youngin days, and everybody would say the same thing. Well, you got to have more memory. We got to have more memory. Now the memory chips are super small with billions of bits on them. It's amazing, right? But guess what? All of that's just a simple testimony for you and I to remember we need to have more memory of the things the Lord has done for us. So the apostle writes to his protege and says, remind them of these things. Remind them. The New Testament from Jesus to John frequently urges readers to remember or remind each other of God's teachings. Did you know that? It's filled from Matthew, basically, all the way through Revelation to be reminded of these things of God. And why is it that we need to be reminded? Why is it that there's four Gospels? Why is it that there's repetitive and repetitive and repetitive? Here's why. Because people tend to forget. Remembering the great things that God has done for us, watch this. This will just blow your mind. Can alleviate emotional, psychological, physical, and spiritual sufferings. Did you hear what I said? You want a great medicine for your woes? Try gospels. Get it? gospels. What do you mean? Remembering the great things that God has done can alleviate emotional, psychological, physical, and spiritual sufferings in our lives. Why? Because in every one of those areas, when we remember the things that God has done for us, we have hope. We don't have hope in the government. The government, they're full of sinful people doing sinful things. We have hope in the Lord God Almighty, who is faithful and never failed us. No, not once. Wow. Remind them of these things. Now watch. Isn't that good? That's really good right there. Charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit. What does that mean? The apostle advises Timothy not to engage in fruitless debates. That's right. Literally, right, straightforward. He's suggesting that arguing over words, concepts, principles, and philosophies has little to no eternal value and is often a waste of time. And most of us know when we get in a conversation with somebody and we're talking to them, you can tell within a minute or two, this is going nowhere. Because they've already shut down everything, right? And it's like, well, why are you striving about that? Listen, it has no eternal value. It's a waste of time. Let me tell you something. You're just going to be really mad at me. I love you anyway. And you still have to love me because that's what the scripture requires. But some of you would do a much better job of living if instead of trying to get into fruitless arguments and discussions, especially with people online who you've never even met, don't even really know or know from 50 years ago and think that you can convince them. Here's the real truth. You have a better opportunity and a wiser step if you watch your favorite 60s or 70s TV shows for 30 minutes than you will debating with somebody who's not going to change their mind. I convinced thousands of people online when I was in a chat room, said nobody ever. I'm just pointing out the obvious. Don't get mad at me. It's just like, come on, right? Not that you can't have those victories, don't get me wrong, but to think it happens in mass, oh, come on. You're thinking, well, that's not very nice. No, what it's saying is don't do it if it's fruitless. Don't do it if there's no point to it. If it's just the same thing back and forth, same conversation, they're not changing. That's when you pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to grab a hold of them. But listen to what the next verse says. Oh, my. So we've started verse 14. Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. It doesn't help anybody. Verse 15, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed. Stop there, because everybody skips to the next verse. We're not going to do that. We're going to break in between these two, so just listen. Verse 15 introduces a whole new line of thought. He's telling people, hey, there are some things you guys need to remember. People are forgetting. This forgetting is not helpful. You need to remember these things. If you will remember the great things that God has done, you will find alleviation from the depth of emotional, psychological, physical, and spiritual suffering, because it will give you hope and it will be active. And then he says this, don't get caught up in those goofball arguments that nobody gets anywhere on or for. Nothing really takes place. It's like arguing with a box or a bag with a chicken sandwich in it. Nobody's getting anywhere from that. There's no point in doing it. Then in verse 15, he goes, listen, present yourself approved to God, workers who do not need to be ashamed. Introducing an entirely new line of thought, we are commanded to present ourselves as approved before God, unashamed. And rightly dividing the word of truth, which we'll get to. But being approved before God relates to our conduct as we strive to reflect Jesus Christ. Now watch this. This will just blow your mind. Being unashamed involves never doubting God's word, never doubting God's methods, never doubting God's timing, never doubting God's purposes, which are all perfect and designed for our benefit. We never need to be ashamed because God is faithful always. And yes, I understand there's moments where I sit there and I go, what are you doing? I'm not the only Christian who says that. And oh, by the way, even King David, I was reading this in my devotions today, even King David, before he's king, and he's talking to Jonathan, and he goes, what have I done that your dad's trying to kill me? See, even David trying to figure out the process, trying to figure out the method, trying to figure out what's going on, not realizing that by creating the division between David and Saul, God was separating him to be king. And the only way that could happen was to put them at odds with each other. And David's sitting there going, what'd I do? Hey, David, you did nothing. This is part of the plan. And what we do is we go, what'd I do? And that's part of the problem. So then when we do that, we're actually confessing a doubt to God's methods, a doubt to God's timing, a doubt to God's purposes. Do you think he likes that? I don't. If he's designed everything and he knows exactly what he's doing and we trust him, then we do. Or we don't. Or wait, better even said this way. Or we doubt him. Do you believe God has your best interests in mind? Yes or no? Then when he allows something that has no purpose, no. Is he in charge of everything? I don't know. Is he the king of the universe and the multiverse? He is. Well, therefore, maybe we could trust him. What? Never being ashamed. And being diligent to show herself approved by God. Wow. How's that for an opening on Monday? That's right. Take a deep breath. And get ready for our first trivia question. This is another section of Who Am I's. Here it is. Who is this person? I was the father of the first biblically recorded murderer, and I am the first father among the living. Who am I? Am I Abraham? Am I Adam? Or am I Moses? Genesis chapter 4, verse 1, and Genesis chapter 4, verse 8. I was the first father among the living. I was the father, actually, of the first murderer. Who am I? Am I Abraham? Am I Adam? Or am I Moses? If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. Additionally, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Now, I'm going to send you up to the website. Why? Well, first of all, there's new stuff on the website. That's all I'm going to say. New stuff on the website. Really? Got to check it out. That's all I'm going to say. Additionally, on the website is a place to put down if you've got a prayer request. We had somebody have a prayer request today. We were praying for them. And then additionally, if you've got a praise report, it's another place to do that. Plus, there's just a lot of cool stuff up there, as well as a chance to give. I bring that up because radio rent is due on Thursday. We want to make sure we get everything covered and keep it clean. Here it is. Simple. Here's your verse, 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 7. The point is this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. Never give reluctantly. If your money is that way, keep it. Never give under compulsion. Don't be manipulated. You give it unto the Lord. You don't feel good about it, don't do it. Not right about it, don't do it. Don't have the right heart, don't do it. And it doesn't have to be here. We hope you participate in giving, but it doesn't have to be here. You just have to be a giver. Because God loves what? A cheerful giver. That's cool. Check it out on the website, hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
hemustincrease.org.
Praise report?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
HeMustIncrease.org.
HeMustIncrease.org.
Yeah, that's what I said. I still think I could slice cheese with it.
What's your favorite lightsaber color?
Blue.
Blue? Okay.
Yeah, it's got to be blue. Now, they don't have any that I wish they had more lightsaber colors that, like, maybe, like, sparkled or something, like, but they don't. It's kind of limited, you know? It's kind of like.
Yeah, I like the green one.
Do you? Oh, you like the green one? Oh, good. Yep. Very good. All right. Trivia question. I'll go back to that and then back to the teaching if nobody calls in. Here's the trivia question. Who are you? I was the first father among the living. Okay, that should be your big hint. I was the father of the first murderer. That's not good. Who am I? Am I Abraham? Am I Adam? Or am I Moses? If you think you know, 972-445-0770. Text 214-210-8483 or send an email to david@hemustincrease.org. Back to the text we go. And a portion that everybody is familiar with, but I want to explain it maybe a little bit more in detail. So we'll do a ramp up and I'll get to it. Here it is. Keeping it as simple as we can. Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, worker who does not need to be ashamed. Here's the next part of that verse. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing the word of truth. I've heard this portion quoted by many. I think many of you have as well. And no matter who's quoting it, they're always saying they're doing it right. Boy, I hope I'm doing it right. Let me say that. But here's what it says. Rightly dividing the word of truth means to accurately handle the word of truth. So let's start before we even get into the Greek word and the definition. What that means is that you don't use the word of God to manipulate. You speak the truth. And I am one of the people that disagree with a large portion of people. Watch this. I don't have a problem if there is an open forum for people to discuss things. Because if there's an open forum for people to discuss things, the truth also gets to be discussed. And I am in favor of just giving any opportunity to proclaim the truth because the truth will prevail. So if somebody has a different point of view, I don't have an objection to them being in an open space and them sharing that as long as the truth gets to also be declared. So that's just my take on that. That's kind of how I function. But rightly dividing the word of truth means to accurately handle the word of God. Orthotomanta. Now you can say that in your sleep five times. I will give you 5 cents. Orthotomanta. 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 It means to make straight or smooth. That's what it means to rightly handle the word of truth. Orthotomanta. To make straight or smooth. This smoothness refers to the flow of Scripture, suggesting it should be interpreted in the spirit of the word rather than in disjointed segments. That's the meaning of the word. In other words, you can't just take a little bit here, you can't take a little bit here, can't take a little bit here and mix it together for something altogether different. It doesn't work that way. There has to be the flow. That's what it means. That's what orthotomanta is, that there's a straight and smooth flow, kind of like a river. Get that? And so that's what it means when it says rightly dividing the word of truth. Verse 16, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. What does that mean? We are advised to shun. Christians can't shun. They're supposed to accept everything. Shun. Avoid. Get away from, turn away from vain and profane babblings. This refers to engaging in endless theories that have no real value. Such discussions should be avoided as they're not producing any kingdom fruit. To shun means, by the way, I just want you to know in the Greek, to reject or to avoid. I'm just trying to give you this. So in the kingdom principles, you can hear other people, but when you're talking kingdom principles and people are trying to come into these wild theories, well, actually, I'm the third Adam from, you know, it's just like, okay, bye-bye. See you later, alligator. In a while, crocodile. Not. Okay? Get that? All right. All right. Now, going back to our trivia question, which I think was rather an easy trivia question. Again, our AM radio is not working, so we are on the internet. We are on the apps, and we will be recording, and we will have our show for our podcasts. Just as a quick reminder. Okay, the trivia question. I was the first father among the living, and I was the father of the first murderer. Who am I? Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. Genesis chapter 4, verse 8. Was I Abraham, Adam, or Moses? And I was Adam, the first among the living. That would have been the key right there. If you are in San Diego, if you are in Denver, if you're in Detroit, go to HeMustIncrease.org to keep listening. If you're on the apps or streaming on the website, just hang out, take a short break, then we'll come back. Don't go anywhere. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. This is one of the first verses in my Christian faith that I learned. Which is, you know, it's, you don't think about it, but when I first became a Christian, people would share this verse with me, and I didn't know why. I was going to find out why, because God was going to set me free from a lot of drug use, but I didn't know then what was going on. I was like, oh, I keep hearing this verse. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, the freedom for freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. So now in our society, you say the word slavery and people start going, and then everybody starts freaking out. You know what? We're never going to change what the gospel is, and the gospel is the reality, the truth. We're not going to alter it for culture. We're not going to say it differently so people aren't offended. If you're offended, turn the radio off, okay? That's your answer. You've got fingers. Use them. Here's our – you got the ability to turn it on. You got the ability to turn it off. Here's the bottom line. Every one of us, before Jesus Christ, was in bondage to sin. Every one of us. Now that we are in Jesus Christ, we are free from the penalty of that sin, and the Lord is working in us the process to overcome that sin practically. We've talked about it multiple times. You understand salvation from a little bit of a, you know, smart, not smart, multiple scripture point of view. Scriptures talk about salvation being past tense. Scripture talks about salvation being present tense. And scripture talks about salvation being future tense. But the only way that could happen is if, watch this, salvation is past tense, present tense, and future tense. See, so the only way it can happen is because that's what it says. And so in that, we need to understand that from the past point of view, we are free from the penalty of sin. Yay! Currently, we're going through what is called sanctification, where we're being delivered. We're delivered from the power of sin, and we're learning in our own lives we don't have to live for sin. And then eventually, when we're with the Lord forever and ever, we will be free from the presence of sin, and there won't be any evil, any bad, any yucky. Okay? Cool. In the meantime, while the justification, while the penalty for sin is done, while the freedom is there, the sanctification process is the one where he makes you look like Jesus, now that he's pronounced you to be like Jesus, and that's the one you got to fight through. That's the one that you have to go, you know what, I'm free, I just don't have to do that. I don't have to. That, therefore, becomes a responsibility. Because the scripture says, stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery, which means that you can. But if you do, it'll be your choice.
The David Spoon Experience.